و دیگر صلوات
اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمين و اللهم علی سیدنا و نبینا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد.
اللهم صل علی محمد و آل محمد.
وعلى اهل بيته الاعتيمين الانجبين بهم نتولى ومن اعدائهم نتبرع بفضلهم. اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنهم قلبك ترضاه وتمتعهم فيها قليلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
We ask for every type of rizq from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Rizq meaning sustenance. But we have to ask something from Him which is the most perfect in every rizq, in every sustenance that can be sought by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Now to understand this, we find that the good and the bad that we do, sometimes good is done in a normal way, in a good way. Sometimes we find that good is done in a marvelous way, in a wonderful way. Sometimes bad is done just a regular bad. A sin is committed as a sin. But sometimes a sin is committed in a detesting way, in a horrible way. So there are people who do good regularly, who do good in a wonderful way, who do bad, and who do bad in a very horrible way. Now to understand this, I'll give you an example. For example, someone does good, helps someone, just in a normal way, or offers something to someone in a normal way. But sometimes we find that good is done in a way such beautiful. For example, a person comes to Medina and says that who is the most kareem, the most benevolent person in town. And people, they tell him it's Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. He is the most kareem, the most generous in town. So here this beggar is guided to the house of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn in Medina. And here he comes by the door of Imam's house, stands outside the door and says, أَنْتَ جَوَادٌ وَأَنْتَ مُحْتَمَدٌ أَبُوكَ قَدْ كَانَ قَاتِلُ الْفَسَقَ. That is, you are the generous, you are upon whom we rely, and your father was among those who had killed all those fusaq. Now this is the beggar. He comes and recites this poem, and so whoever listens to that knows that he is in need. He, instead of extending his hands and his knees before that person or opening and asking explicitly, he just recites that shit. Here Imam finds out that there is someone outside who is in need, comes to his wife and children, his family, and spreads out a little piece of cloth and says that it's a good time to help. Whatsoever you have, let's make a parcel and give it to this person in need outside. So a little parcel is prepared by Abu Abdullah. He comes by the window and gives that parcel from the window to that person in need. Does not open the door. Why doesn't he open the door? He does not want to look at that person who was in need, so that he is ashamed that he was in need and he extended his hands and help to Abu Abdullah Hussein. To maintain the dignity of the person who was asking, Imam doesn't even open the door, does not even look at him, just gives that parcel saying that خُذْهَا فَإِنِّي إِلَيْكَ مُعْتَذِرٌ. But take this, I'm sorry, وَعْلَمْ بِأَنِّي عَلَيْكَ ذُو شَفَقَةٍ. I know that I love you. So this is how Abu Abdullah Hussein did something which is good in a wonderful way. Sometimes we find that people, they commit a sin. For example, wining. They drink. It's a sin that is done. It's haram. But sometimes a wrong is done in a horrible way, in a detesting way. For example, on the day of Ashura, when the whole tragedy unfolds and that loot and plunder takes place, and they start looting everything from everyone. Now that Mal'un, he comes by the body of Abu Abdullah and Hussein and sees there's a ring in that hand of Abu Abdullah. He couldn't remove that ring. He amputates, he chops the finger, takes that ring away. So a bad was done in a horrible way. So good is done in a wonderful way, bad is done in a horrible way. And sometimes we find people, you have seen, I have seen, that people who were good at a time, they end up as horrible people. Or someone who was on the Iman, they died faithless. An example was mentioned yesterday, Zubayr, that he with his wonderful past, how did he end? The same thing, there are people who had a negative past, but they have a good end, like Hur, for example. And many other examples. So in your life you have seen, in my life I have seen, and this is something which is on and on. And in history looking back, we find all these examples that people, they had a bitter past, but they end good. So people, they had a good past, but they end bad. So there is a head-on collision, and what is the reason for that? Why do people end such faithlessly without Iman? For that reason, what we are said is that we have to ask Allah something which is perfect. A rizq, a sustenance which is complete. And what is that? It's Iman. And what is Iman? It's obedience. That is, if we abide by the teachings of Allah and we are obedient to Him in all the do's and don'ts, we find that it becomes simple, and this head-on devastation, head-on collision, and all that, it doesn't take place. Now there is this quote we find in Bihar al-Anwar, says that Shaitan, when Allah told them, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. When Allah makes the body of Adam, and then He blows His spirit, His ruh in it, and then says, instructs the angels to bow down in sajda. The first one to object here is Iblis. Iblis, he says that, God forgive me, I won't bow down. Instead, you can ask me to worship as much as you want, I'll worship. Allah says, no, I don't want a worshipper. I want someone to be obedient to me. Then obedience is required. And in that beautiful quote says that, Shaitan, he communicates and says that, I will be the best of worshippers for you. Not an Abid, we talked about that the other day. So, here we find that the best of sustenance and rizq is that we ask Allah from Him that we want to be obedient to Him. That is the best. That is, if we get to that obedience of Allah, then everything else is solved. There's nothing to worry at all. Whatever befalls on us, it is from Him, and He is the most kind, He is the most generous, He is merciful and compassionate. Whatever unfolds on us, it's from Him. So He wants us to be a slave and an obedient to Him. As it was mentioned yesterday, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that لَا تَكُنْ عَبْدَ غَيْرِكْ وَقَدْ جَعَلَكَ اللَّهُ حُرًّا. That don't be a slave of another. If you want to be a slave, slave of Allah, the Baraka Ta'ala, and no one else. Now, looking back to the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
we find that he was the strongest soldier of Rasulullah. Miraculous tasks were performed by Amir al-Mu'mineen in that battle of Khandaq. The gates were closed, and to open the gates they needed 40 men just to open and to close that huge big gate. Now we find that when it was the time of need, we find Amir al-Mu'mineen, he just pulled that gate out. How come a gate which was opened and closed by someone, that large number of people, 40 people, just to open and close it. How come he, one person, pulled it out? And he made that pathway for the troops of Islam to enter that trench. So how come that happened? And when Imam was inquired, and he was said, Ali, how did you do that? In reply, he says that إِنِّي مَا قَلَعْتُ بَابَ خَيْبَرْ بِخُفْرَةٍ جَسَدَانِيَّ. That is, I did not uplift or take that gate, that door out with this body and might of a human body. Says, بَلْ قَلَعْتُهَا بِخُفْرَةٍ رَبَّانِيَّ. But I took it out by the might of Allah, the Lord of Allah. Now how did he get that might? As a result of that obedience. That is, that best of rest and sustenance which a person can get from Allah, says the more obedient a person is, the more successful and prosperous he is in this world and in the hereafter. So this is something that we have to work on, obedience. That is, we ask Allah for a rizq which is complete, which is perfect, and that is disobedience. Looking back into the tactics of Bani Umayyah, we find that Bani Umayyah, they also claim to be Muslims. Now this is something which we find in the Muslim world even today. That is, Bani Umayyah, they taught people what Iman is. They never taught people what shirk is. They taught people what prayer is, they taught people what namaz is, but they never told people what shirk is. They never taught people what Iblis is, who Shaitan is. But we believe, first you know yourself, you know God, and you know your enemy as well. Because your enemy is within you, and that is your own soul, which is so close to you, and the enemy in exterior is Shaitan. You have to know Shaitan. Unless you know Shaitan, you will not know what traps he is laying for you. Looking in the Muslim world, for example, today, at large, all of the countries, we find every sin, every wrong, every haram is done openly and is, and as if it is part of that religion itself. So Islam, in the airports if you go, it's the call of azan on time, and you'll find them saying their prayers on time. At the same time, all these liquor stores and all these dancing and belly dancing, everything is also happening at the same time. So they taught people what Iman is, but they did not say, tell them what this shirk is. So shirk is something, Shaitan is something that need to be taught. We need to know him, we need to know what the traps he lays. One of the ulama, he says that the Shaitan, like the awliya Allah, like the servants of awliya Allah, as they work hard, Shaitan works even harder, much more. If we work 9 to 5, he works 24/7. He never takes a day off, he never rests, he never sleeps, no dozing, nothing. He has to work very hard because he is the sworn enemy of Allah, and he has sworn to drive everyone away from the path. For that reason, he has to work hard, extra hours, more shifts, and more people to work with him. So that is, and also if you look into these ahadith that we have regarding the end of time, Dajjal for example, 90% of the ahadith regarding Dajjal are quoted by the Sunnis. Not even 10% are mentioned by the Shia sources. So they have more to talk about Dajjal than what we have to. So Dajjal, we believe, it's any trap, any misguidance, anything who has to mislead from the right path, it's Dajjal. Now this is widely known that Dajjal is that one being with a one eye, he will come in the end of time, he will consume so much, that is Dajjal. But if you are waiting for that, that will never happen, it will never come. A Dajjal, a one eye being who is going to eat that much of a large consumption of food, that will never happen, because that is against the wisdom of Allah. Allah will never create someone who consumes the food of everyone and everyone else has to die of hunger. That will never happen, because that is against the wisdom and justice of Allah. Dajjal means, a being with a one eye means only materialistic. Has no eye towards morality, has no eye towards spirituality. That is only, whatever this Dajjal sees is matter, is madda, nothing else. Once we believe that everything which Allah has created has two dimensions, a material form and a spiritual form. That even this body of ours, it has a material body, which is this human body. The spiritual form is that ruh which is present in it. Everything in this grand creation is as such. So the jaw, if it is a being which is weight, which is a one eye, only looks at the material side of it and consumes large amounts like this Hollywood we have over here. The annual budget, they say, it's billions and billions. It's more than the budget of a country of maybe 50 million people living there. And you have much more to spend here in Hollywood for that budget, that is. So that is the jar. The jar needs only a one-eye materialistic to deviate and to put everyone away. So that is the jar. So we have to see who the enemy is. Muawiyah, what he did, he said, talk about Iman, talk about Quran, say your prayers, say your fasts. But we say, no, prayer has to be there. At the same time, we have to say who the shaitan is. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before that, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-Rajim. That is, shaitan has to be ousted first, then Rahman takes place. That is, this heart of an individual, either Allah can rule on that heart or shaitan can rule. We can't say shaitan and Rahman together you can be in my heart. Impossible. In one glass you can have either poison or water. You can't mix poison and water together. You can't say that I will say my prayers behind Ali, eat my food with Muawiyah. That doesn't matter. That doesn't happen. That is double standards. Allah says, Allahu waliyyul ladina amanu, that is on one side, it's Allah, wal ladina kafaru awliyahu ta'u, that is whosoever stands against Allah, that is ta'u, you have to be against ta'u, you have to be against shaitan. So that has to be clear, that is we know what Iman is, we know what shaitan is, we know who Muawiyah is, we know who Hussein is. We know who Muawiyah is, we know who Ali is. The two have to be known. We can't mix and match the two together and say that, yeah, they can get along together. They cannot get along together. So, this risk, if we want not to have that head-on collision in our life, it's obedience. That is, if a person is obedient to Allah, then definitely that head-on collision will never take place in his life. Because he has abided by all the do's and don'ts of Allah, then he will be safe and secure. But if that Iman or that obedience, that risk, which is that perfect risk, did not exist in us, we have examples like Zubayr, we have examples like Iblis, we have examples like Ibn Muljim. Ibn Muljim, he worshipped so much. That is, people they used to come and tell, how much do you want to worship? How many sajdas Ibn Muljim? But he was someone who killed Amirul Mu'mineen. So someone with all that past of his, that is worship and servitude, being an abid, ends up among the worst of the creation of Allah, that is Ibn Muljim. Iblis also is the same. With all that services, that is worship and sajdas, is the sworn enemy of Allah. So the reason this is being mentioned is that obedience plays a vital role in our success and prosperity. Now when we say obedience, in every form, in every way, if we say that this is Qibla, that has to be that Qibla. One Qibla for all Muslims. Everyone has to face that Qibla, everyone has to perform all his ahkam, his rituals, facing that Qibla. Now fine-tuning that Qibla and saying, no, this doesn't sound right, that should be right, this is moving against deen. And it is dangerous, and it was mentioned that when we start fine-tuning our ahkam, that is devastation. That is head-on collision. Now if we start fine-tuning ahkam, we find that the package which Allah has given and laid for us, made for us, that package falls apart. For example, if I start fine-tuning the qibla, for example, and say that this is not the qibla, this should be the qibla. Now we find that we've got so many ahkam. That is, we have toilet rules. We shouldn't be facing the toilet, or we shouldn't be facing our back to the toilet when the toilet is being used. That is that first objection. If Qibla is here, is Qibla is there, which one is that going to be? And Allah does not want us to be confused. That is, yuridullah bikum al-yusr. Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want trouble for you. Now, the second thing which falls comes up is this slaughter, halal. That is, people, they have to have their animals killed in the way of qibla. So if that, this is that qibla and that animal is slaughtered in the way of qibla, it is halal for you. If I believe that this is not that qibla, then that animal also becomes najis for you. So that is that second. Now if a person dies, now in which qibla do you want to lay him? This direction, that direction, fine-tuning, it's dangerous. And Allah doesn't want that much of fine-tuning. Even when it comes to these fasts, He says, you start your fast from Fajr, and then you break your fast at Maghrib. Precise. And the rules which Allah gives, it is for every time, regardless of technology. Now, people living during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not have clocks, timepieces. They did not have computers. It was said to them, this is Maghrib, this is Fajr, this is Zuhr. An easy formula was given to them. Based upon that, their ahkam were being practiced. Now we have technology. Just click Google and you'll get all the information. Now tomorrow, if you don't have the technology, what will happen? Does it mean that everything will just shut? No prayers, because we don't have a computer. We don't know what time Maghrib is. We don't know what time Fajr is. It doesn't work that way. Allah's rule is such that whether there is technology or whether there is no technology, His rule is something which can be practiced by everyone no matter where he is. Whether he is deep down in the sea, whether he is high above in the space, wheresoever he is, the rules of Allah have to be practiced, and He has made them, designed them, which is adaptable totally for this human being in all forms, in all ways. So that is obedience, that if we are obedient to Allah, we find that things are easy, are simple, because He has made them simple for us. And if we start fine-tuning ahkam of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it is we who will fall in devastation. The same thing applies with every other hukm that we have. May that be in taqleed, may that be in ghasb, may that be in ifs, may that be in whatever. It was mentioned the other day, one of the great ulama of the Shia world, it's Marhum Bih Bahani. It was one of these nights of the month of Ramadan. This great alim, among the assets of the Shia world, he comes and gives lectures every night. And after the prayers, he prayed, as we do, Ajjalti Faraji Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman. He comes and says that Allah delay in the return of the Imam. Don't send him just now. People present in that majlis, they started mocking. And some of them, they said, what is all this? We respected you. We said, offered our prayers behind you. And now you say that Allah delay in the return of the Imam. Come on, go home. And he is sent home. Someone at night comes near Fajr, knocking at the door. Now this alim, he says that definitely they've come here to kick me out of the town. They don't want to see me here. Does not open the door. It's that khadim of that masjid. He says, open the door, it's me. He says, I won't. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. I will do you no harm. I've come here to apologize, to say sorry to you. Because he was the one who rolled that prayer mat and said that, look at us, all these prayers offered behind you, someone who opposes the Imam of time. And then he says, what happened? He says, I had a dream this morning before Fajr. I saw Imam has arrived. Imam has arrived and he is in my house. The first instruction that Imam gives me says that this carpet you have, this rug you have in your house, it's ghasb. You haven't paid homes of it. Roll it and put it aside. It's my property, it's not yours. And then Imam says, this house that you are living in, it's ghasb. That is, the property which belonged to so many people, it hasn't been distributed correctly, so you can't live here. Your prayers in that property are batil. And then, this is the second instruction to that one person in just a few moments. And then he says to Imam that, would it not be better that you go back to where you were? And then he says, what that Shaykh said was right. That is, we are not prepared for the Imam to come. That is, if he comes and gives those instructions, because we are not obedient now, we will definitely not be obedient when he comes. That is why this whole thing is delayed. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll talk on this issue as to what are the factors that play a role in Waliyullah being deprived. That is, why was Waliyullah, he was all alone. Amirul Mu'mineen was alone. The luckiest from the Masumeen is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, who has 72 to support him. Amirul Mu'mineen, with all that might, with all that greatness he possesses, with all that bravery he has, people, they come to him, they say that, Ya Ali, why don't you stand for your right? And it was a big mob, many, many people. It says that the streets were filled with people. Imam says, okay, you want me to rise? I will. One condition. That is, all of you who want me to rise and you will support me, tomorrow come here with your heads shaved and with your sword in your hand. And tomorrow, 24 hours from that very time when Imam gives the instruction, out of those hundreds of people, just four came with their heads shaved, with the sword in their hand. So even Imam Ali, with all that might which he has, he is unlucky when it comes to supporters. Many of the Imams, they had no one. Luckiest is Abu Abdullah, 72, which he has. So here, obedience plays the factor. And it is said that this return of the Imam will be delayed so much unless we become obedient and better servants. And one of the Jews, during the time of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salatu was salam, on that day when that atrocity fell onto the house of Zahra and Ali, he, when he sees that these mala'in, they have attacked that house, and Amirul Mu'mineen is in rope and is being dragged in the streets of Medina, he immediately says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
People, those who were present over there, they said that, why not? Were you not present in the battle of Khandaq? You saw with your eyes that how that gate that was so heavy, so big, which was opened by 40 men, closed by 40 men, how Ali, one and all alone, he pulled it out and opened the path for Muslims. Why did he not embrace Islam then? You saw the bravery and might of Ali then. He says, what I saw then was different. What I see now is far more different. What I see now is something different. That is, someone with all that might, with all that bravery, so strong. If he wanted, he could have done whatever he could. He did not do that. So there is something behind it, that this strong Ali is so much humble and so much weak at the moment. Why? It's that obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Riwayat says that it were the last days of Rasulullah's life. And then Jibreel alayhi salam comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, I have a message for you and for Ali. I want everyone present in this house to leave. I want to deliver this message to you and him. A message was given to Rasulullah. Now it's the last days of Rasulullah's life. And then two messages to Amirul Mu'mineen. Now this ittihad and this unity week, what we have in from Iran, or said by late Marhum Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, it's something which is based on wahi, on revelation, instructions of Allah. Says, when the message was delivered to the Prophet, says two messages for Ali. First message from Allah is that, Ali, this khilafat which is your right, it will be seized from you. You have to be patient. Allah's instructions are that you have to be patient. So that this nation of Rasulullah stays intact, does not break apart, Allah wants you to be patient. Your khilafah will be seized, let it be seized. The second message He says, okay, if that is what Allah wills and pleases, I will be patient. The second message, when given to Amir al-Mu'mineen, we find that this strong mountain collapses and faints. Says, what was that? Says, in your presence, Zahra will be disrespected. Says, will that ever happen? The dearest daughter of Rasulullah, the only daughter of Rasulullah, he is still alive. And within a day, or riwayat said that just within a few hours after the demise of the Prophet, all these atrocities, they unfold on this noble household of Zahra and Ali. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها 10 times يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Allahumma fir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Tabi' Allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Innaka mujibud da'awat. Innaka 'ala kulli shay'in qadir. Tomorrow is the last night, and the most probability for the Qadr is tomorrow night. So before you come with the ghusl, which is highly recommended. Come with a copy of the Holy Quran, and inshallah, whatsoever you had, your hajat, your wishes, that have been signed and ready to dispatch, will be dispatched tomorrow, inshallah.
Allah. 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 Allah.